You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Dan Rome.
We are profoundly visual creatures. We respond to what we see more than anything else. More than half of our mind, if you think about our brain in terms of the hundreds of billions of neurons that we have, more than half of our entire brain is dedicated to processing vision more than any other thing that we do. We are so profoundly visual. We know that, like your son, who's 8, by virtue of the fact that we drew when we were little kids, before we had really good writing or spoken language abilities, we drew all the time. And that was the way we began to tell a story, and we lost it somewhere along the way.
Dan is the author of 5 international best-selling books on business visualization and communication clarity. The Back of the Napkin was named by Fast Company, the London Times, and Business Week as the Creativity Book of the Year. Dan's latest book, Draw to Win, debuted as #1 on Amazon.com in the categories of business communication and sales and marketing. Dan is a creative director, author, painter, and model builder. His purpose in life is to make complex things clear by drawing them and to help others do the same. Dan has helped leaders at Google, Microsoft, Boeing, Gap, IBM, the U.S. Navy, and NASA solve complex problems with pictures. Dan and his whiteboard have appeared on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NPR. His latest book, The Pop-Up Pitch, is available for pre-order now, and we're happy to have him here this week on the On Brand podcast. Dan, welcome.
Nick, thanks so much. It is a pleasure to talk with you again. It's been a little while.
It has been a while, and I think back when we last spoke, I had a podcast called The Work Talk Show, and you talked about work habits, and you said something that is probably one of the Dan Rome quotes that I use most frequently, is that you had a top secret, very high-tech app, and it was for writing and writing books, and that is getting up early. Before anyone else. So I think...
I wondered, Nick, I was worried, what was the top secret app that you were going to bring up this time? Uh-oh.
It's a timeless app, really. And that is, of course, getting up early. And I know that when that would have been after that interview, worked on my 2 books, that was a strategy that I employed. The kids weren't up. When there wasn't anything in the inbox, any fires to put out, that's a great time to get that burst of creativity. So thank you in advance or after the fact for that.
Well, let me ask you this, Nick. Did you use it, and do you still use that secret tool of getting up early to do your writing or your creative work? Does it work for you?
It does work for me. We were talking about me being in Iowa earlier, and you know, I'm one of those Midwesterners. I like to get up, get to work, but even more so with a project like that. So it really does work well for me. Now, in terms of still using it, I'd say I'm a little situational. So if it's a big project, something that requires deep thinking, I will do that. It maybe isn't a part of my day-to-day routine.
Well, Nick, may I add, we'll call it a version 2.0 of this secret software tool. May I add an update to the software? So over the years, I've been talking to a lot of people who are authors or as you mentioned, people who are working on a really big creative project. And uniformly, and I think this is incredibly important, is the idea that really, really big things happen in little tiny, tiny steps. And it's not just a matter of getting up early, it's a matter of making it a habit. And there's a beautiful thing that happens. And I know we're going off into the work side, but we'll go there because it is about the work and it's about storytelling and everything we'll get to. But you can do pretty much anything you set your mind to if you can break it down into tiny steps and you can take each one of those steps in the morning or at some point during the day. And big, big things get done over little steps. And it is an incredibly powerful life and work lesson to learn. And if you can internalize it, it really has made all the difference for me because, as you can imagine, because you've done it yourself, this idea of I'm going to write a book, that's a giant heroic task. Well, guess what? It can be achieved if you just do a little bit at a time. So anyway, that works for me. How does that sound to you?
Well, it sounds great. And if I could be a little punny for a moment, it sounds very on brand for you and your work, this idea of breaking things into these smaller pieces, these smaller incremental steps. Because I feel like whether, you know, we're talking about writing books, but folks out there tackling big projects like strategy, like a new process, a new innovation, are sometimes stumped. And that's where I think that your approach and how you do what you do is pretty powerful because it helps us to unlock some of that simplicity that we love, that we crave, but we kind of have gated off in our brains a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I know we're probably going to go to this in our conversation, but you'd mentioned my new book, The Pop-Up Pitch. And Nick, if I could just go there for a second.
Yeah.
To amplify this notion of doing big things through a series of little steps. We will talk about this more in detail, but the core of that entire book and what I think is powerful and has been powerful for me is the realization that the telling of a really great, persuasive, compelling story is also a matter of breaking a story down into a series of simple, independent, discrete steps that take place in order. And that is, we'll get into more detail, that is the core of what the pop-up pitch is about, is how to tell a big story, one that will persuade people, compel people, and one that you will have joy in sharing by, again, breaking it down into a set of very thoughtful, smaller steps within the story. So we'll get to that, but it's all of a piece.
I can't wait to get into that. There's one other thing leading up to this that is, if I'd say after the early rising Dan Rome app that we talked about earlier, something that applies to this, and I think is a really important thing to remember, because I think that this approach to some can sound scary. And I'm here working at home today, and our 8-year-old is also working from home because he's still doing online school. And when I was out before our conversation, he happened to be in his Zoom art class. And all of these third graders were drawing, were holding up what they'd drawn, and they were breaking down, it was a biography project, breaking down who they were into words and then putting pictures to those words. And I felt like also on brand for a conversation with Dan Rome, because it reminded me of something else you've said, that we come equipped to do this. And here's my 8-year-old doing just that. But by the time we get all grown up and buttoned down and working away, it's hard to access those skills, that mindset. How is there a way in setting up for communicating in a more simple visual way that we can get over some of these hurdles?
Sure. Oh my gosh, Nick, you've just asked the core question of everything that I've been working with and struggling with and hoping to have some breakthroughs through over for the last 15 years, which is this notion that we know that by virtue of human, we are profoundly visual creatures. We respond to what we see more than anything else. more than half of our mind. If you think about our brain in terms of the hundreds of billions of neurons that we have, more than half of our entire brain is dedicated to processing vision more than any other thing that we do. We are so profoundly visual. We know that, like your son who's 8, by virtue of the fact that we drew when we were little kids, before we had really good writing or spoken language abilities, we drew all the time. And that was the way we began to tell a story, and we lost it somewhere along the way. So to answer your question, number one comes from awareness. You want to be as visual as you can, as often as you can. Okay, great. So Dan, what does that even mean? Well, what that means is just start drawing things as you're talking, the same way as your son is doing. There is nothing more powerful when it comes to storytelling or even just communicating than sharing an idea with someone across the table or across a Zoom, where you pop up a piece of paper, digital or analog, grab a pen, and as you're talking, you're sketching out in broad strokes what is the core of the idea that you're communicating. Nothing in the world is more persuasive, more authentic, or more human than that. And it's really a matter of just understanding that we are visual. Drawing is easy. Just practice making some simple little shapes, stick figures, circles, boxes, arrows. That's all you need. And then get into the act of when you're talking, go ahead and amplify it a little bit with your drawings, and it's going to work. It's as simple as that.
Well, I can't say enough good things about your approach. I've been hooked since back of the napkin, and love all of your work. But I'm really excited because we talked a bit. I also teach out in our College of Business here at the University of Iowa, students on creating persuasive presentations. And when I saw that you had this new book coming out, particularly, I love the pitch of the book itself. And I'm going to actually read from your website a bit here, because I love how this is broken down, that this book shows you how to spend 2 hours creating 10 pages that will transform your audience in 7 minutes, no matter what story you need to tell. And I think there's something about the specificity, the layers of all of that, that's what everybody wants to do. And that's pretty hard. So where does this book find your approach and your work?
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty big promise, doesn't it? In 2 hours, you're going to create the 10 pages that are going to transform any audience in 7 minutes or less. And you will. I guarantee it. And the reason is I'm just standing on the shoulders of the giants that came before me. What I've done is I've stolen, adapted, readapted, reinterpreted, and woven together some of the best lessons in storytelling and business persuasion history, and realize that if you boil all of these things down, and all of these things might be Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, which people are familiar with, the classic monomyth of telling stories throughout sort of the history of humanity. And then you go and look at good old Dale Carnegie, sort of good old American persuasive, optimistic salesmanship. And then you go look at some Daniel Kahneman and Dan Ariely recent behavioral economics on what actually makes the human mind tick. Because we used to believe in the world of economics that humans make rational decisions. And now we know, thanks to this topic called behavioral economics, that's so far from the truth. We're profoundly irrational. But the good news is our irrationality is largely predictable. So if you take those three things together, classic, you know, historic storytelling that works, because it's the same sort of story which with George Lucas used to tell Star Wars, and J.K. Rowling used to build Harry Potter, and J.R.R. Tolkien used to build The Lord of the Rings. They're all telling exactly the same story. Combine that with how do you actually draw someone into your idea by being positive and positively persuasive, and then weaving in how the human brain actually works in response to different types of stories. I put that all together and cooked up this thing I call the pop-up pitch. And the idea is, look, the same as a pop-up restaurant or a pop-up store. You remember back in the day, pre-COVID, when we used to have pop-up stores places. And restaurants, and now they're coming back, and they're going to come back with a vengeance. The idea was, let's say you're a chef, and here I am in San Francisco, so someone's always literally cooking up a new type of burrito. Okay, great. Instead of investing the entire capital investment of building a new restaurant and hiring staff and building and buying the biggest kitchen you can and marketing and all that, what would happen if you just did a pop-up version first? And you got a little food truck, or you did a pop-up stand, and you made that burrito and you tested it with an audience for real, kind of a minimum viable product burrito. And then from that, with less investment and less time that you put in, but a lot of creativity, you were able to get immediate audience feedback quickly and then modify before you make the giant investment. That's why I call it the pop-up pitch, because Nick, I've realized over the years that in the thousands of times that I work with business people who have a presentation, the first thing they do is they boot up their PowerPoint and we start spending weeks cogitating and contemplating and moving things around in our slides and have this enormous capital investment in our presentation. I'm like, that there's a better way. Why don't we do the pop-up approach? Look, we know how to tell a story, and I can teach you how to tell a story, a 7-minute story. I can teach you how to build it in less than 2 hours. Why don't we, instead of investing all our time in this giant, elaborate PowerPoint, why don't we put a lot less time into just crafting a really good story about whatever it is that we want to tell using this template that comes to us through the ages, and then being able to present it in an informal way, whether it's through a remote session or a live session, where you just go off a flip chart or off a whiteboard or a stack of paper with your hand-drawn sketches, no matter how awful they look, people will be captivated and you're just going to share with them, hey, Nick, really quickly, do you mind if I take a couple minutes and share with you my story? And it begins here and it goes here. It just plain works. And I've said about 14 different things in that little soliloquy I just gave you. The core of them all is the pop-up pitch is designed around telling a compelling story without having to make up the template of the story every time. We already know what the template is. Just pick it up, polish it, make it appropriate for what you have to share. And you're always going to get guaranteed a really good, quick way to initially tell your story and see if others are interested or not.
You know, first of all, I feel like saying amen to that, because when you I say this in the classroom all the time, so often when we learn we have a presentation to give, it's exactly what you said. We boot up PowerPoint and we're in this world of slides. And that's not to say that there's not a place for slides, but we get there too soon. And this planning, these steps of thinking about what you're doing and how you're doing it are so critical. And I think where your work really reinforces that is something else that we don't do, especially in our tech-driven age, is the power of analog tools. Hmm. And I'm not sure exactly why they seem so powerful. But it seems, again, we're quick to, you know, jokes aside about the app of time, that we are looking for the next app that's going to hack what we're doing, that we're looking for technology to solve the problem for us. But steps like this and actually plotting that out, maybe even with an actual pen and paper, are important steps that we need to remember not to skip.
Oh, absolutely. Well, The reasons why, there are so many ways we could go with all the powerful things, Nick, you just said. The reason why an analog tool, pen on paper, hand drawing a sketch, or even hand writing a note or hand painting a sign, the reasons why those types of messages feel so human is because they are. They're not digital. And our mind recognizes that. And we are human. And everything in our life is really about interacting with other people. And our digital tools are awesome, and they come and they go. And tools that we may have used 10 years ago, we may or may not be using them now. There's always a new, slightly improved social media tool or slightly improved digital meeting management tool, and they're awesome. But fundamentally, what we're trying to do is just communicate with each other. And the best way to do that is the most human way. And we talk about slides and we denigrate PowerPoint, and yet I use PowerPoint all the time. I just use it differently than most people. Yeah. One of the things that's powerful about this notion of the pop-up pitch is what you're really doing, and you named it, is creating a 10-page story. Now, if you're using PowerPoint, that's awesome. What I'm giving you in the pop-up pitch is the structure of building a PowerPoint, which is exactly 10 pages long, and the role of each one of those pages in its specific order is very, very explicit. Your first slide must do the following. Your second slide will follow up by doing the next thing, and so on through the 10. And 10 is all you need. You will never need more than that. It's difficult to get away with less, but you will never need more. Any story can be told through these 10, whether you're selling something, trying to persuade someone of something, whether you're communicating with a family member, or you're making a pitch in a business situation, or you're having a team member. For reasons that we can dig into, anything can be explained in a really persuasive way according to these 10 steps. And 10 is a lot to remember. So we further atomize it. We kind of make it, break it down a little bit further into it's actually three acts that you're remembering. Every story you're going to tell, and this goes all the way back to Socrates and Plato, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so our 10 pages span 4 in the beginning, 3 in the middle, and 3 in the end. And what's really happening, Nick, as you go through these 10, is I would like people who are listening to this to imagine in your mind's eye a kind of a timeline, sort of like a stock ticker line moving from left to right. Or if you think about kind of an EEG line moving along like a human heartbeat from left to right, what I'd like you to imagine is your story starts out with that line moving at midpoint kind of level where you simply give the name of the story you're going to tell, and then you establish some common ground with your audience saying, today we're here to talk about presentations, and one thing we all have in common is that we'd like to be better at doing them. You know, what have you. And that was your first slide, by the way. And now what you're going to do is you're going to go through these 10 steps, in each one intentionally moving that line up or down explicitly to elicit a very programmatic emotion. And believe it or not, if you really take apart the greatest stories of all time, they all hit essentially the same beats in the same order. And those beats manifest themselves in us, the audience, as different emotional turns from fear to relief to hope to, oh crap, sobering reality that I'm not going to get the hope that I wanted if I keep doing the same thing that I've been doing. So I need to be bold and make a change, and then I can have some gusto around trying something different. But how do I have the confidence that I know how to do it? Because I look back and see something that I've done before. And Nick, the whole structure, it's this beautiful, almost like a story formula that there are other stories, there are other ways you can share your idea, but this is one, this 10-step emotional journey is one that you can always rely on as the basis for captivating pretty much anyone. And it's really exciting to me to have been able to kind of unveil it or reveal what was already there. And Nick, what has been even more exciting is over the last 2 years now to test this storytelling template out with people from, you listed some earlier, but I'm doing projects right now with Google. I'm doing projects right now with Hootsuite, which is a social media aggregation platform. I'm doing projects with Allbirds, which is a sustainable shoe and clothing company. I'm doing projects with the US Navy. I've got a project next week that I'm doing with NASA down in Pasadena at Jet Propulsion Lab. And think about that. We're talking shoes, spacecraft, social media plays, and the internet. Pretty diverse group of stories, and every one of them is using the same template. And what we're coming up with is, although the intention and the content of the story is widely diverse, the outcome of sharing a story this way is uniformly positive and action-oriented. And it's lovely to see it work. It friggin', Nick, it friggin' works. It's amazing. It's math. Who knew? Storytelling is math. What's really funny with the folks down at Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena is we have literally called the training program Storytelling is Rocket Science. And, you know, how could you get any better than that?
Well, to kind of stump you with one question, when you talk about the diversity of all of those different folks that you're doing work for, I was going to say, who needs this book? Who should go get this? But I kind of feel like blending that in a little bit with what you just said. What's the common thread of who needs this approach?
Everybody needs to be a storyteller. Nick, before we started recording, you were telling me that you were teaching storytelling there in Iowa. And storytelling, okay, what does that even mean? The idea being that all of us have, we live in our own minds. Okay, if we can just get abstract here for a moment, and then we'll drag it back into practicality in just a second. We all live in this world where we are moving through it, largely living in our own minds. And whenever we need to get something done, it requires a team. We have to communicate with other people in our family, or we need to communicate with colleagues in our business, or potentially competitors or customers or what have you. To me, kind of the magic of just being alive and being quote unquote successful is being able to share what's in our mind with someone so that they can see it in their mind. And that is what story does better than data, better than traditional education. Story is the way that historically people have always communicated the lessons that they've learned that matter to them in their own mind to someone else. And then the really good stories, those that have a positive impact or really have a powerful learning, are the one that other people then pick up and pass along. So who needs to be able to tell the story? I think, Nick, I don't want to be facetious about it, but the answer is everybody. The simple answer in the business world is if you have something to sell, then of course you need a story, you need a pitch, and you don't want it to be a hard sell. You want it to be something authentic and legitimate. If you want to teach someone how to do something, the best way to teach someone is to tell them a story and then act it out as you're showing them how to do that thing. So if you're a leader and you really need people to follow you and to do the things that you believe are important to do to achieve your vision or your objective, the only way you're going to get those people to do that thing is by telling them the story of what that thing is. So the long answer is, if you're a leader, if you're in sales, if you're a teacher, you certainly need this tool set to be able to help you become the best storyteller that you can. And so I would put it the following way. Since all of us spend so much of our lives now presenting to each other remotely, the real magic of this is when you're going to do a remote presentation and you need to capture someone's attention for the 8 to 10 minutes it takes for an idea to really take hold, nothing is better than simply telling a simple visual story with your own hand-drawn pictures and doing it remote. It works magnificently. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Perfect sense. Well answered, and all of us need to be storytellers. I've bought my copy of the pop-up pitch. Now it's up to everyone else to do the same. Dan, as we wrap up, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Yeah. Oh, Nick, it's one I've already mentioned, and I'm looking at them right now. I at the risk, because this is a client of mine, the brand that makes me smile these days is actually Allbirds. And I don't know, do you know who Allbirds is?
Are
you?
I have six pairs myself. I had to just bite my knuckle when you mentioned them earlier, because they are a big favorite of mine.
Well, I've got only five pairs and they're my client. They've been my client for the last couple of years. Allbirds, for people who don't know, literally does, in my mind, make the world's most comfortable shoe. And the really great thing is that they're made from sustainable materials. When I talk to the people at Allbirds, and I talk to them almost daily, you ask different people, what's the company about? And some people will say, well, we're about making really comfortable clothing and attire. Some people will say, we're all about trying to help mitigate climate change by being more thoughtful and sustainable in our practices. And other people will say, what we really are is a materials innovation company. I'm wearing a pair of shoes right now that are made out of eucalyptus bark. They're lime green, and they're the favorite pair of shoes I've ever had. And they were supposed to last for a year. I've now had them for 2.5 years. Anyway, I sound like a salesman. I just love the brand. I put on my Allbirds and I smile. They are that comfortable. And what's cool is Allbirds is actually doing their IPO next week, which is kind of amazing. I wish them all the luck in the world on that. And it's been a long time coming, and I wish them all the success that they can have.
Well, that's a great example. And every now and then that question gets turned around on me, and Allbirds is my go-to answer because...
You're kidding. You're serious.
Yeah, of many different things, but one that kind of is reminiscent of what we've been talking about, simple words, simple pictures. Instead of, you know, sending you the boilerplate shipping confirmation email, you get the email with the little animated sheep packing up your order and taking off in a jet pack And it says comfort is on the way. And what a better way to say, thank you for ordering something. I mean, it says that in there, but it's smile worthy, very smile worthy. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I enjoy working with them too is it's got a really brilliant design community within the company. Those who are the designers, not only the product, but of the graphic designers and the marketing designers too. And they get it. They totally get it. How does it feel? How does it feel in your hand? And what does it look like? And how could we communicate that simply? And they get it. So it's been successful. So it's fun. They're a good. They're my favorite brand right now. What can I say?
Awesome. Well, I once again couldn't agree more. Dan, where can we send folks to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Nick, I am easy. It's just my name.com. Dan Rome, DanRoam.com. That's the website. And you can find more there about the pop-up pitch. In fact, the two core templates that we've been talking about this session, the 10-page pitch and then sort of the what I call the visual decoder, how you draw the simple pictures that would fill in your story, those templates are available for free on danrome.com. Just go to the homepage, scroll about halfway down. You'll see that those templates are completely free, downloadable. And one is just a PDF, but the actual 10-page pitch template we've been talking about is a full-featured PowerPoint template where all 10 pages are already set up for you. And it's almost like a Mad Lib for anybody who remembers Mad Libs. You just fill them in. I've already templated the 10 pages. What is the element of your story you want to put in each one? And I just want people to use it. So it's there for free. And please take a look. And if anybody's interested, then of course, buying the book will give you the full 286-page instruction manual for the PowerPoint template that you now have.
That's awesome. Well, we will link up to that in our show notes. Dan, thanks for being on brand with us.
Nick, my pleasure. Thank you.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen, and take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next time, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.